So today we're going to discuss six different components of Chutzah and why and how and in what respects we define Chutzah as a Melacha Gruahi. So the first question that's on our plate is, in the end of the day, so how does Chutzah relate to the other Lamentas Melachos? So here we propose three general perspectives on the Melacha of Chutzah. The first one we saw referenced in the Ramban, and that is that the Havamina is that Chutzah would not be a Melacha. Then you have Gzeres HaKasev that says Hadre L'chlal HaMelachos. Now that we have a limud, Chutzah falls back into the category of the other Lamentas Melachos. We noted that Tosos also. Tosos talks about Chutzah Melacha Gruahi, but L'maskana, it seems that according to Tosos, there aren't any reverberations of Melacha Gruahi. Tosos raises it to explain the Havamin, the Gemara and Beitza, that Ein Eir B'Chutzah L'Yom Tov. But L'maskana, it seems like the Gemara rejects that day, and the Gemara says that the Heter Chutzah L'Yom Tov is based off Mitoch. Okay, so our first perspective seems to be Havamin is Melacha Grua, Gzeres HaKasev is Hadre L'Chlal HaMelachos, and now it's back with the other Lamentas Melachos that we have in the Mishnah. Perspective number two is that Chutzah is a full-fledged Melacha, L'maskan, like the other Melacha. It is a full-fledged Melacha, but it's unlike the other Melachos. So we notice the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perakid Beis, so the Rambam quotes the Gemara on Tzadi Vavim Beis, like Rabbeinu Chanana, which implies that L'maskana Vayikali Am Mehavi tells you that Chutzah is a Shem Melacha, but the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos quoted Vayetze Ishmum Komo B'Yom HaShabbos to tell you that Chutzah is distinct from the other Lamed Ches Melachos. So you have one Gzeres HaKasev to tell you that it is a Melacha, you have another Pasuk telling you it's a Melacha but it's different, and that's why the Gemara in Horios, the L'maskana, according to the Rambam, distinguishes between Charish and Katzir V'chule and the other Lamed Ches Melachos, which only combined form a guf echad, whereas Chutzah, in and of itself, it is a guf echad. According to the Rambam, Chutzah is a malacha, but it's different and distinct from the other lamed ches.
Which one is which?
What?
Which one is which?
Vayikale tells you it's a malacha, like the Gemara in Tzadi Vav Mebeis. Hayitei Shmim Komo tells you it's different.
Did we see the Rambam for the first one also?
That was the Ramban. The Ramban says that Tegzeres HaKasev is Hadre L'chal HaMelachos. Our perspective number three is that Chutzah, even the maskana, is not full-fledged malacha. This we saw phrased very nicely in Tosas Reid on Tzadi Vav Mebeis. Tosas says that Chutzah is not a Melacha, and that's why it's different from the other Melachos. Now this last category could be phrased in two ways. Either in a strong sense, in the strong sense that Tosas Reid phrases it, Chutzah is not a Melacha, or you could phrase it in a weaker sense that it's a Melacha Gruahi. It's a quasi-Melacha, even L'maskana. So those are three different perspectives. L'maskana, where does Chutzah fit into our picture of the other Lamed Ches Melachos? These three perspectives on Chutzah will relate to three perspectives on how Chutzah informs us about the other Melachos. If you hold, for example, that Chutzah is a Melacha Kishar Melachos, L'maskan, like we quoted from the Ramban and maybe Tosos, so then it would seem that you could learn the character of the other Melachos out from the character of Chutzah. So if Chutzah seems to be different, and yet L'maskan, it is the same as other Melachos, it's very possible that now we learn something new about the other Lamentas Melachos. According to the Rambam, that Chutzah is a Melacha, and yet it's different from the other Melachos. So it could very well be that you can't learn anything out from Chutzah, even though it is a Melacha, because it's different. Its character is different from the other Lamentas Melachos. If you hold that Chutzah is not a Melacha, so then it's very possible that you won't learn out anything, clearly you won't learn anything out from Chutzah to the other Lamentas Melachos. But by contrast, you'll see the difference between the definition of the other Melachos in contrast to what Chutzah is defined by. So if you hold the extremes, if you hold that Chutzah is a Melacha Kishar Melachos, or you hold that Chutzah is not a Melacha, then there's something that Chutzah could tell you about the other Melachos, but in different senses. Either by contrast, or by learning Chutzah to the other ones. If you hold like the Rambam, then it'll be hard to share properties of Chutzah with the other Melachos.
When you say that,
or it's a Melacha Grua.
How is saying Melacha Grua, like, how is that different than what the Rambam might be saying? Is it necessarily different?
Melacha Grua here we're assuming means that it's not like the other Melachos. I mean, we're assuming it doesn't have a full Shem Melacha like the other Melachos.
The Rambam also goes out of his way to emphasize that it's a Melacha,
right.
Melachos.
Rambam learns out by Kali Ameavi.
Yeah, right.
In that it's a Guf Echad, and that it's more of a category in and of itself. But that Chutzah is still inferior, the Rambam doesn't seem to say. Good. That was the first issue on our plate. Now, it could very well be It's just the aura that I thought of this morning. It could very well be that if the Rambam holds that Hotza is a malacha, like Shar Malachos, it's a category malacha, but it's different from the other malachos. So it could be that that would explain the difference between Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Aleph in the Rambam, Perek Chaf Dalet Halacha Yidgimon Yidalet in the Rambam. It could be that Chaf Aleph Aleph is an extension of all the other malachos. Rambam says that there's a mitzvah save Tishbos, Afilu Midvarim She'ena Malacha, in things that are either maybe Lidei Malacha or Dvarim Hadomim Malacha. So it could be that's an extension of the category malachos of the Lamed Ches malachos that you have. And then you have a separate category in Chaf Dalet Yidgimon Yidalet based on how we explain the Rambam, that's really based off Hotza. So it could be that expansion of Daber Davar and Chaf Dalet Yidgimon Yidalet, that's an extension of the Malacha of Hotza. So even though they're both malachos, it could be that they have different principles and they manifest themselves differently in their extensions in Chaf Aleph and Chaf Dalet.
So are you claiming that the extensions based on Hotza are not part of the essay?
What?
You
mean in Chav Dalid?
Yeah.
There seem to be a drabanan, yeah.
So the only parts included in the essay are not
what?
The only parts included in the essay are not the extensions.
Right. What? No. Do you? Why do you find it difficult? You don't know why you find it difficult?
We'll discuss it.
Okay. To be discussed. So our second issue is how do all the psukim work together in the end of the day? We have one pasuk where we know from the Gemara in Erevin on Yitzayim Mebeis, Ayeta Ish Mekom B'Yom HaShabbos, and we have another pasuk quoted in the Gemara on Tzadivav Mebeis about Vayikali Ha'amei Havi. So how do these two psukim work to, in the end of the day, define what the Malacha of Hotzah is? So Tosafot on Daf Beis tells us Echad La'ani V'Echad La'Ashir. One pasuk is to tell you that there's a malacha of hotza for the ani. A separate pasuk to tell you there's a malacha of hotza for the ashir. So according to Tosos, you need the two psukim to span the scope of the iser of hotza, to widen its breadth. That's one perspective. Second perspective is that of the Ramban. It's not that you need two psukim for the scope of hotza, but you need two psukim to define the stature of hotza. If you only had one pasuk, then you would have said that hotza is really a lav, like either havara or like tchumen. Now you need a second pasuk to come along and tell you that in addition to that or above that, hotza is defined as a malacha. Tos the Rosh, B'shem Rabbeinu Yechiel, offers a third possibility as to why you would need two pasukim, and that's not relating to the scope of hotza, it's not relating to its stature, but it relates to its individuation. This is Tos the Rosh, B'shem Rabbeinu Yechiel. You need two pasukim to tell you that there are two different avos malachos of hotza. There's one av malacha of hotza da'ani, and there's a separate av malacha of hotza da'ashir. So you need two psukim to tell you that these are really two avos. The Mishnah calls it one av, lamed tatz malachos, because the shem hotza is chadi. But in a chanami, in terms of chiluk chatos, so you'd be chayiv two separate karbanos if you did hotza da'ani and hotza da'ashir behelam echad. So you need two psukim to individuate the two different dinim of hotza. According to the Rambam, you need two psukim to tell you the two different dinim in the character of hotza. You need one pasuk for Hilchos Shabbos to tell you that hotza is defined as a malacha kishar malachos of Shabbos. Vayikali av mehavi. And that's why the Rambam says that, oh, hotza is an av malacha me'avos ha-malachosi. But then you need a separate pasuk to tell you that hotza is still different. You need a separate pasuk to tell you that l'inyan, the dinim of horios, hotza is defined as a guf shalim. So according to the Rambam, you need two psukim to tell you that there are two different dimensions to the character of the Isra of Hotza. One of Hilchos Shkagos and one in Hilchos Shabbos.
We're saying that the Al-Yetzeh highlights
its different character. Yeah. Because it plays down Hotza as being different from the other malachos.
Why would that the connection
Because Tchumen seems to be more like a lav. So that takes it out of the parsha of the rest of the karbanos. Right, if you have, let's say, havara lechalik yatzas of the lamed tatz malachos, then you have tchumen lehotzi yatzas of hotza. Shows you that it's its own character.
Ellie. Sorry, just a little bit out of order, but going back to the Rambam.
Yeah.
About Shkagos and Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So the point was that by Rambam separating hotza from the other malachos, he's keeping aspects of its being ruah in Shkagos. But I mean, he says he says that the Hotzah is its own goof. He says that it's Kiilu your Oker Kol HaShabbos. So it sounds like
doesn't seem like the Rambam saying that. Read Rambam carefully. It's not that the Rambam saying that Oker Hotzah is Oker Kol HaShabbos Kula. Rambam is saying that that has the same halachic status as somebody who's Oker Kol HaShabbos Kula, because Shabbos Kula is considered a goof shalim.
And then he does that parallel to like every other thing.
You think that being Oker, right? You think Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom of Nida is like being Oker the entire Nida from the Torah?
Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is its own inherent.
Yeah, its own category within Hilchos Nida.
The Yerushalmi, as opposed to the Rambam, just clearly focuses on just Hotzah and just Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom.
The Mishnah has all three.
Right,
the Mishnah Horios has all three cases.
I'm saying the Lashon. I saw it a while ago. The Lashon Yerushalmi sounds like it's saying it's Kilu Oker, like the goof of Hotzah.
It
specifies that Hotzah is a goof, not that Hotzah is a way to get.
So you're trying to say it's against the Rambam?
It sounds like the Rambam is a little different. I mean, why does the Rambam need to say that it's Kilu, your Oker, all these different things? Why does he need to give all those comparisons?
I'm just telling you, you have a principle. If you're Oker or Guf Shalem, you're Pater. Hotzah is Kilu, your Oker or Guf Shalem.
So why does he have to compare that to Oker Kol Shabbos?
Because it's luminescently obvious to everyone that Shabbos is a Guf Shalem.
Why does it have to be Dafka Kol Shabbos? It could be Oker, anything that's a Guf Shalem.
You're right, but the Rambam's talking about Shabbos. So why should he reach far afield when he could give you an example from within the same context which he's discussing?
Or why not say all of those things are connected, Oker Kol HaShabbos?
Your Oker Hotzah, it's Oker Kol HaShabbos? Yeah, doesn't seem that way.
It also fits with what Rebbe wanted to say about the Rambam, about Tiltal.
The diak in Tos Tzvi HaZaken was a very good, very good diak. This is stepping further afield. So it could be that there's also a fifth reason why you need two different psukim when it comes to Hotzah. That's a point we didn't make in Shir, but I'm just gonna put it out there to expand our discussion. The Pnei Yoshua on Tzadi Vav Mem Beis and on Daf Beis says that you need one pasuk of Hotzah of Al Yetze Ish Mem Komo to tell you that there's a din of Hotzah of Halichas Agavra. As a din of Hotzah, if you walk from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim carrying something. You need a separate pasuk of Hotzah from Baikali Ame Havi to tell you that there's also a din of Hotzah for when the Chefetz transfers Roshios on its own, i.e. Moshit and Zorik. So according to the Pnei Yoshua, you need two psukim to touch on the two different aspects of Hotzah. According to the Rambam, you need two different psukim to split its character. It has Grua aspects and it has full Malacha aspects. According to the Pnei Yoshua, Hotzah is comprised of two different dinim. Hotzah Sagavra and Hotzah Sachefta. You need two psukim, one for each. And that's why the Gemara wakes up on Sadi Vav Mem Beis when it's talking about Zorik emotion. The Gemara says, how do you know Hotzah? Why didn't the Gemara ask that on Daf Beis? So Pnei Yeshua says, because the Gemara in Daf Beis knew that there was the din of Al Yetze Ishmim Komo for Hotzah Sagavra. When the Gemara talks about Zorik and Moshe, then the Gemara needs a source for Yetziah Sachefta. Those are five different.
It fits in well with Al Yetze being connected to Komo.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are five different reasons why we need two different psukim to teach you the din of Hotzah. The sixth perspective about the psukim is that you don't need two psukim. You only need one pasuk. Which pasuk you choose won't be dictated by your understanding of Hotzah. It'll simply be dictated by your understanding of Tchumen. So if Lamanda Amar Tchumen's Doraisa, so he'll have to bring in the pasuk of Aikali Ha'ami Havi to teach you Hotzah. That's the Ramban on Daf Beis. The Ramban suggests you really need one pasuk. It's either or. And different people, based off their understanding of Tchumen, will choose which pasuk they want to teach the din of Hotzah. But really, you only need one pasuk. Okay? Those are six different perspectives on the psukim and how they get you the Isser of Hotzah. So again, you have Tosfos, who holds it to expand the scope, Chad La'ani, Chad La'ashir. You have the Ramban, B'Shem Yesh Omrim, that it's to raise the stature of Hotzah from a lav into a malacha. In the sheet of Tosfos Rosh B'Shem Rabbeinu Yechiel, that is to tell you that there are two separate avos malachos incorporated within the Isser of Hotzah. You have the Rambam, who says you need two psukim to tell you the dual character of Hotzah as a malacha grua and as a malacha shalim. Then you have the Pnei Yeshua, who wants to tell you that there are two psukim, one for the din of halichas agavra and one for the din of halichas achefta, when the chefta changes the shuyos without any connection to the person who's going in between. Yeah.
So the Rambam has. Well, first of all, assuming Rambam does really have two psukim, we don't know.
Right.
So couldn't it just be that the second one would just teach you that Hotzah is Asa, but would not teach you that is a malacha, which means it wouldn't have toldot, it wouldn't have any other category of malacha.
Okay, but why do you need Hotzah? Why do you need Vayikal Yom Yavi to tell you it's malacha, and then have a second limud tell you that it's a lot?
That's why he doesn't use the second limud anywhere afterwards. That's
so you're saying your perspective.
I'm saying that he agrees.
You're coming back to your perspective on last
would
week.
Teach you Hotzah.
But why? You already know it's a malacha.
Well, no, first of all, it came first. I'm saying, no, he's agreeing it is a valid source. Just thinks it's not, in fact, it isn't necessary. He's not saying it's a wrong limud. He's saying...
I doubt it. We'll talk about it after. I just want to argue it out. Okay. So now we come to our main discussion, and that's the question of why is Hotzah defined as a malacha grua? Why is Hotzah defined as something different by the Rishonim, distinct from the other malachos? So our first perspective on malacha grua here is the perspective of the Baal HaTosos, which is that it's really an internal logical problem with pinning down the nature of Hotzah. Tosos asks, Mali Rishis HaYachid L'Rishis Rabbi, Mali Rishis HaYachid L'Rishis HaYachid. So within the nature of Hotzah, within the nature of Chilaf Rishuyos, there's something anomalous about the logical category. Why am I chayev for going from inside to outside, but not chayev for moving within a rishus hayachid? So this means that the problem of hotzah malacha gruhi is not about contrasting hotzah with the other malachos, but just an understanding malacha on its own terms. That's the perspective of the Baal HaTosos. It could be that the Ramban shares this perspective as well, but not because of the logical problem of chilaf rishuyos, rishus hayachid to rishus hayachid versus rishus hayachid to rishus harabim, but because of a logical problem in understanding the nature of carrying things around. If hotzah is going to be a malacha at all, then clearly the rationale is that it's about carrying things and schlepping things around. That's got to be the isra of malachas hotzah. But then when you look at the halachos, it's clear that schlepping something heavy from downstairs to upstairs is mutter, and taking something light from inside to outside is aser. So given that the mechayiv of hotzah as a malacha is masa, its own categories are incoherent. Because within the categories of masa, it's counterintuitive that you're chayiv for something kal, but you're chayiv for something kal, but you're putter for something for a davar kavod. So even within hotzah itself, you might have a problem in defining malachas hotzah. Does anybody object to that read of the Ramban?
Which Ramban is
on? Ramban Daf Beis. What? Ramban does say that. So this read of the Ramban would say, Hotzah is problematic because of this masa davar gadol thing. Masha ain't kain by every other malacha, where every other malacha is usher on its own terms. So bona is usher because you're building. So the more building you do, clearly, that's just an expansion of that same chiyuv. Hotzah, which is aser machmas davar acher, machmas rishuyos, because it's aser, its iser is imposed by the rishuyos, so you end up with having this incoherent view of schlepping things around. Meaning, it's only because chilaf rishuyos imposes its domain onto the iser of hotzah that you end up with this paradox that you're chayiv for a davar kal, but pater for a davar kavid. Whereas every other melacha, which has its own internal logic, it's aser machmas atzmo, it's a simple hagdara, bini, bone, kosev. So you're chayiv for just doing more of the same malacha. Mash enkin hotzah, where you're putter for doing more, but chayiv for doing less.
Isn't that just another way of highlighting chilaf rishuyos?
No. It's highlighting chilaf rishuyos. But chilaf rishuyos itself is not a problem. So the Torah has one hagdara of rishus from rishus hayachit to rishus hayabim, another hagdara of a rishus from one rishus hayachit to another rishus hayachit. Torah has its own hagdar v'shiyot. That's not a problem. The problem is that given that the mechayiv of hotzah is carrying, so then chilaf rishuyos creates a problem.
I just don't see how that's so totally different. I think the Ramban, I don't think it's what he's saying is shir, but...
What?
I'm not sure if this is what he... I don't think this is what he said is shir, but it sounds to me like the Ramban is just saying that just using, like, extremes to highlight the difference between Mali Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid and Mali Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim.
That's what you wanted to read it.
I think that's just what it sounds like.
Then why do you have to come on to Isser Machmas Davar Acher? So the way I would read the Ramban here is that
Davar Acher is Rishuyos.
Right, so because it's the Rishuyos that's imposing its law on Hotzah, so you end up with the paradox.
You're just saying Rishuyos, you're just using like hyperbole to contrast. To highlight that it must be Rishuyos.
But where's the incoherence? Is the incoherence in not understanding why you're chayiv from one kind of rishus to another rishus as opposed to two rishus ayachids, which is Tosfos problems? Or is the problem within the internal definition of schlepping things around? According to Ramban, the incoherence is in the latter.
Not for me. If you're carrying a feather between rishus ayachids, would you be upset? Ramban's not
bothered by that. He's totally fine with that. Because he understands the distinction between two rishus ayachids and rishus ayachid and rishus arabim. What bothers him, though, is why you're putter for a davar kaved. So in that sense, Hotzah is different from the other malachos. The other malachos have their internal definition. They're aser machmas atzman. Hotzah, which is aser machmas davar acher, leads you down this dangerous road. Right.
Because here the malacha is the carrying, but that tonight that didn't do anything significant until he went into the Rishos.
Right. That's what the Ramban seems to be saying. That works out nice with the Ramban and Shavuos. Right, you saw it in the end? Okay, very good. Very good. So what we emerge then is that we have two different persons. Yeah.
Why is it given that Machayev is Masa?
Why is it?
Given that Machayev is Masa?
Why is it?
Why is it given to the Ramban?
Oh, why does he assume that? So it could be that the Ramban is motivated by the Mechayev and other Malachos. So that's the other Malachos seem to relate to a kind of labor. So the labor in Hotzah would be Masa.
Also the way he understands Aseh of Shabbos, Omel v'Torah.
Right, but why would you impose your understanding of Aseh into the Lav?
That's what he does. He thinks that it is.
He says that Aseh carries over into the Malachos, not that he thinks that Aseh is what defines the malachos. No, carry over means that you're also violate aseh when you do the malachos. It doesn't mean that the nature of the malachos is for amavatircha. But yeah, you're right. From this Ramban, it seems, if you read the Ramban as not contrasting Hotzah with the other malachos, like we're reading it now, the Ramban's assuming that like the other malachos, the mechayiv here is some sort of labor. And the logical labor by Hotzah is clearly carrying things, labor of schlepping things around. Okay. So what we, yeah.
But he rejects this. This would lead to the conclusion that you need two psukim for Ani Balabai, which he ultimately disagrees with.
Does he?
Yes.
I don't think so. The Ramban later quotes the Yesh Omrim. Here the Ramban doesn't quote the Yesh Omrim yet. The Ramban actually suggests his own suggestion that you only need one Gzeres HaKasav previously. Then later he quotes the Yesh Omrim, and then he argues with them. So I don't think this is at all contingent on...
He says at the end, he's insulting it greatly and saying, Al Yitzik doesn't mean this, he can't mean this, it's Al Yitzik, Tiva Yitzik, Karina, and I don't see why anyone could say this.
That's going back on the Man Damar holds you need to cry.
Right, so this is explaining why you need to cry.
This is not explaining why you need to cry. This is before the Ramban suggests it. Right. Nothing to do with Trey cry. This is to explain why you need Chad cry.
Right. But it's also that maybe he thinks there must be a weaker objection, because this is a pasuk in the context of needing two psukim.
No, that's not true. That's not true in the reading of the Ramban.
I'm still not sure.
Yeah, so you go over it, you'll see.
I don't know if I see what you're saying, but
you don't have to see what I'm saying, you just see what the Ramban is saying.
I don't think the Ramban is necessarily really saying this, but I'm not sure he isn't. I'm pretty sure he isn't, but I'm not 100% sure, so I'll leave. I'm not gonna argue.
No. Gotcha.
The difference between these two approaches?
The difference between the two approaches now is like this. According to Tosfos, the Mechayiv of Hotzah is Chilah for Shuyos. But Chilah for Shuyos itself is problematic. Because why you chayev for one kind of chila for shuyos, but not chayev for another chila for shuyos? That's Tosfos' perspective. According to Ramban, the mechayev of Hotzah is carrying around heavy things. What? Carrying around things. Right? Laboring around and carrying. So why you chayev for only some things and not chayev for other things? I mean, there's something illogical about the hagdara of carrying around things. Whereas for Tosfos, there's something elusive about the hagdara of chila for shuyos. Now, we mentioned in Shira, this actually plays in very nicely into the nature of Erev Tchumen, Erev Chatzeros. Midrabanan, we paskin that if you live in a chatzer with other Rishis HaYachids, so you have to have an Erev Chatzeros. So that Midrabanan, halachically we view it now that everyone's living in the same house. It's one Rishis HaYachid. So why do you need such a takana? So to the extent that we're buying into the Svar of Tosfos, that Rishis HaYachid to Rishis HaYachid itself should be a problem, so it makes a lot of sense that Midrabanan, we're going to say that Rishis HaYachid to Rishis HaYachid is a problem. So we require an Erev Chatzeros between two Rishis Ayachids. So it could be that even Midrabanan, we acknowledge Svar of Tosos. The Svar of Tosos. What? Oh. Well, it could be that the Rabbanan are sensitive to the fact that there's no real distinction between Rishis Ayachid to Rishis Ayachid versus Rishis Ayachid to Rishis Rabim. So Chachamim say, we have to make a Hagdara. As Chachamim say, oh, even Rishis Ayachid to Rishis Ayachid we're going to be Machmir for. That would be one perspective on Erev Chatzeros. The other perspective on Erev Chatzeros is to say that you don't need an Erev to differentiate between one Rishis Ayachid and another Rishis Ayachid, but that the Rishis Ayachid of a Chatzer is more Doma to Rishis Rabim than the Rishis Ayachid of your house. So in order for me to go from my house into the Chatzer, so that's Ki'ilu, I'm going from a private Rishis Ayachid into a public Rishis Ayachid. So that Chilef Rishuyos is very Doma to Rishis Ayachid to Rishis Rabim. So Mela, I need an Erev Chatzeros. There are two perspectives on Erev Chatzeros. Either we're acknowledging that going from one Rishis Ayachid, my house, into the Chatzer, which is another Rishis Ayachid, is problematic, Midrabanan. So I need an Erev Chatzeros. That would be buying into the Svar of Tosos that there's no reason to distinguish between Rishis Ayachid, Rishis Ayachid, and Rishis Ayachid to Rishis Rabim. The other perspective is that my house, which is a Rishis Ayachid, is a different kind of a Rishis Ayachid than a shared Rishis Ayachid, which is the Chatzer, which is shared by 10 different families. It's more of a Rishis Rabim than a Rishis Ayachid. So if that's what the takana of Erev Chatzeros is coming to solve, then you don't have a raya that we're buying into the svar of Tosos Midravana. Okay.
But it's also another idea of chilaf reshuyos. It's two different reshus ayachid.
But it's a chilaf reshuyos that's closer to the chilaf reshuyos of reshus ayachid to reshus arabim, as opposed to abdicating the point that we buy into reshus ayachid to reshus ayachid as being problematic.
But this doesn't necessarily fit better with the Ramban. It's just
no, just not buying into svar of Tosos. Shua. Well, we know there's a malacha of hotza.
Right, so
you have to be chayav for something.
No, but you could be saying that I would have thought
the Mishnah that hotza shouldn't be aser. But we know that hotza is aser, because the Mishnah tells us that hotza is aser.
Yeah, that's why he's saying that's not
a durah. So our havamina is that there's no hotza on Shabbos.
Our havamina says malacha durah.
And then we have a chiddush that hotza is, it's grua because it's chayav.
It's shir.
It's grua because it's chayav and mikzas. It's peculiar. You usually think something is grua because it's pater mikzas, not because it's chayav and mikzas. The fact that you're chayiv for part of Otzah speaks to its weakness?
Yeah, because you shouldn't have been chayiv at all.
That speaks to the weakness of Otzah?
Yeah.
That you're chayiv in mikzas?
Yeah.
The fact that you're pater mikzas speaks to the weakness of the malacha.
Right? Then just pushing it off another level doesn't necessarily push it up to the level of other malachas.
Yeah, but the fact that you shouldn't be chayiv at all doesn't speak to its weakness.
Weakness in relation to other malachas.
Yeah, I understand, but it doesn't have to do with the fact that you're chayiv in mikzas and you're pater mikzas. Tos is bothered by the distinction. So usually, something speaks to its weakness if you're pater when you should be chayiv, not when you're chayiv when you should be pater. Right? The fact that you'd be pater altogether, you're right, that speaks to its weakness. The fact that you're distinguishing speaks to its weakness in the fact that you're pater b'miktas, not that you're chayiv b'miktas.
Well, according to Tosos, you would then say it's gruah l'maskana, according to what you're saying.
According to Shua?
Yeah, meaning it's gruah l'maskana because it shouldn't have been chayiv at all. So now that it is chayiv a little bit, it doesn't make sense.
So you're just giving another reason not to accept...
No, I'm saying it doesn't make sense. The reason it's grua is because it should not have been chayev at all.
Right. That's not what Shua is saying. Shua is saying the reason why it's grua is because you're chayev in mikzas. Tosos is saying...
Whereas you should have
been Tosos doesn't say it's grua because you shouldn't have been chayev. Tosos says it's grua because you're chayev in mikzas.
No, I mean, he says...
Those are two different points.
He says mali or shisei yachad.
Right, so he's bothered by why you're chayiv in mikzas and pater mikzas. That's why it's a malacha grua. So had Tosos come along and said, you shouldn't have been chayiv at all, that's why it's grua. Like the Orzu, that's what the Orzu Ruah says. So that speaks to Otzah being a malacha grua. The fact that you're chayiv in mikzas and pater mikzas doesn't speak to it being a malacha grua because you're chayiv in mikzas. Do you accept that? Yeah? Do you acknowledge the flaw of your ways? Because those are two different perspectives within the internal problem of Hotza Malacha Gruhi. So now we come to the external problem of Hotza Malacha Gruhi. Hotza seems to be different from the other Lamed Ches Malachos. So the first source on this view would be the other reading of the Ramban. that the Ramban's not coming along to tell us the internal problem with Hotzah. The Ramban's coming to tell us that all the other malachos, they're also machmas atzman. They have a mechayiv of either tircha, or they have a mechayiv of productivity. Hotzah is totally imposed from something external to it. That's why it's a malacha grua. So as the other malachos have some sort of mechayiv of masa kaved or doing something hard, Hotzah doesn't have it. It's asr machmas davar acher, and therefore it's a malacha grua. What? Yeah. And it's externally imposed. It's externally imposed. The other perspective in malacha grua is that offered by the Or Zeruah.
How does the whole point that the masa gadol and carrying heavy things, carrying light things, play into that reading of Rambam?
So then you would simply say that the Ramban is showing that clearly the mechayiv can't be masa kaved. The mechayiv of all the other malachos is hard work, right? Or some sort of significant work. When it comes to Hotzah, that can't be the mechayiv because you see that you're potter for hard work. So el al korchach, the mechayiv is imposed machmas davar acher, not the same svar that you have for the other malachos. Hear that? Whereas the other way we read the Ramban, when we grouped the Ramban with Tosos, we were saying like this. The other malachos don't have a mechayiv of tircha or amel or hard work. Just Hotzah would have that mechayiv. And even within Hotzah, that mechayiv doesn't exist. Doesn't live up to its own standards. Within this perspective, we're saying all the malachos have that mechayiv, but Hotzah doesn't. That's the first way. That's the first way of reading the Ramban. But then Yakir is asking, well, how does the Ramban's argument about Masa Kaved factor into that? Forget about Masa Kaved. The Mechayiv here is imposed by Rishuyos.
It doesn't have to be Masa Kaved. It's just using that as an example, just going to the extreme, just for the fun of it. That you don't necessarily need that for the argument.
Right. So the assumption is that the Ramban doesn't just have fun. He were to pay your Shalat Torah to have fun. And Parashan Shas is here to say tell Svara.
It just makes it a stronger question, saying that even if you really, really do the Maisa, that it wouldn't be a problem. No?
I think those are two different perspectives in Ramban. How to take that. What?
I don't know what I'm doing tonight.
I don't know.
What are you guys doing tonight?
The Ramban actually writes that in his Hakdama. He says, I'm writing a parasha al Torah, so you should have nice things to read on Shabbos after. What? What?
My memory is that parts of what he writes in the Torah is to give some nice pshat to the Talmud.
Right.
But doesn't mean that all he's writing on
the Torah. Right, you don't enjoy half the Ramban al Torah? So, fine. Perhaps the strongest view in this notion that Hotzah, Malacha Gruah, he speaks the difference between Hotzah and the other Malachos is the point of the Or Zeruah, that whereas all the other Malachos speak to a change within the object that's being worked on, so Hotzah is totally, it's a change only in the Maisa Gavra. But with respect to the Chefetz, Meikara Chefetz, Vahashta Chefetz. So Hotzah is different, it doesn't focus on the object itself. Now in Shir, we quoted an Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer was brought up by Jordan, where the Avni Nezer is mechalik between Tzad and Hotzah. And when it comes to Tzad, there's a requirement of Davar b'mino nitzad. It has to be something in its own min. Right? So why do you have that requirement? So Avni Nezer says, because you know what? Tzad is so different from the other malachos. Every other malacha has a change in the object. Tzad doesn't have a change in the object. You have an animal in your house, you close the door, you're chayef for Tzad. There's no change in the object, though. The Gavra did something. Masha'en kein every other malacha, including Hotzah. Hotzah has some sort of change in the object. So what does the Avni Nezer mean by that? Does he mean that contextualization is transformation? Does he mean that based off where something is, we'll redefine the object? Mashal ma'a davar domeh. Right? You have a piano on the street. You have a piano in Carnegie Hall. Right. That piano takes on different status in the different places. Is that what the Avni Nezer is saying? That the object is transformed by its context? So it could be that's what he means. The problem is, if you look in the Avni Nezer, actually in the tshuva that we quoted yesterday, so the Avni Nezer in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Yud actually says straight up that Hotzah is the only malacha that doesn't have a change in the chefetz. And it would seem like it's direct stira to the Avni Nezer that we quoted earlier. He actually says the Hotzah doesn't have a shinoi in the chefetz whatsoever. So it could be that the way to read the Avni Nezer that we brought up earlier in Shir is really that Hotzah uses the object. A malacha is done using the chayfetz. Even though the chayfetz is not transformed, it has to move from one rishos to the other rishos. Masha inkin, every malacha and Shabbos, masha inkin sud, according to Davni Nezer, where you're not using the object itself. It's something that's done by closing a door. Or something like that. Lahavdil, right? In contrast, if I knock down the walls of a city on Shabbos, I'm not chayav for chila for shuyos. Even though I transformed that city from rishos rabim, from rishos yachid into rishos rabim. There has to be some sort of action done on the object. That doesn't mean that there had to have been an internal transformation in the actual object itself.
See the other bit for the Oizuru, that according to him there's contextual change to the sun?
What?
According to Oizuru, you would say there's contextual change for the... How do you explain the sun according to the Oizuru?
That would be the wildlife people that would see it.
That's more of a change in the... Yeah, it's a different animal when it's trapped than when it's...
more believable.
What? Right, it's a different animal when it's trapped. You could ask Daron. Daron has a whole mahalos to explain that even people could become animals when they're trapped. Ayn Shum, the hunger artist. Very good. So you're malami it's close as to why that was written. What? No, but the Avni Nezer is actually being mechalik between Sa'ad and Hotzah. But according to the Ar Zeruah, you have to say that the Ar Zeruah is saying that Dafka Hotzah is unique. He says Dafka. He says Hotzah is a malacha gruahi because meikar chayfetz v'hashta chayfetz.
So Ar Zeruah can hold that it's not the same chayfetz anymore. It's not the same animal, but you're still not doing it to the object. You're not doing
malacha
on the object.
Yeah, but the Ar Zeruah is not interested in the second read of the Avnei Nezer whether the malacha is done in the object. He's interested in whether there's a change in the object.
That's why it's totally consistent with both of the Ortharua and both of the
object. Then you need a pasuk for itself.
Why should you need a pasuk for itself?
Why the malacha grua?
The object is changed.
Yeah, it's
changed.
It's one point, there's a transformation.
Even if you have one point,
so the Or Zeruah is interested in the transformation. So here there's no transformation. So by his logic, shouldn't Sud also be a malacha grua because there's no transformation? So that's what Yosef is pointing out, that when it comes to Tzad, there is a transformation. You hear? How come there's so many objections today? Why is everyone... No one's objecting today too much. You doth protest too much. So that's the position of the Or Zeruah and two different reads of the Avnei Nezer. So then we come to the Tosfos Ri HaZaken, quoted by Eli, very nicely in Shir. Tosfos Ri HaZaken in Mem Tes Amud Beis tells us that all the other malachos require a high degree of intentionality. They require a high level of machshava. Mashenkin Hotzah, where you don't actually need some level of thought, or you don't need a high level of concentration to do the malacha of Hotzah. So here you have a distinction not in terms of the result on the object or the transformation of the Cheftza, but here you have a chiluk even in terms of the Maisa Gavra. Hotzah is different in how the person goes ahead and carries about the activity of malacha masha inke and sharavos malachos to Shabbos. So you have two deis here, and the Rishonim, does the distinction lie in shinui achefetz, or does the distinction lie even within the Maisa Gavra of Hotzah? This point of Tosfos Ri HaZaken seems to have been picked up also by the Mabit, where the Mabit argues that Hotzah is different because it's not a malachas umanos. It's not a skilled work. Now, it doesn't seem like he's making the same point as the Or Zeruah. He's not saying it's not a skilled work and that it doesn't change the chayfetz. He's saying it doesn't require skill to go ahead and be over on Hotzah. Tosfos Rid may be making the same point also. Tosfos Rid also talks on malachas umanos. He says, you're not chayiv, Hotzah was not in the Mishkan, because you're only chayiv ala malachas umanos she'asu beguf ha-mishkan. So it's not clear what his contrast is. Is the contrast like the Mabit and the Tosfos Ri HaZaken that Hotzah is not a malachas umanos, or is his contrast that it wasn't beguf ha-mishkan, which brings Tosfos Ri back into the category of the Or Zeruah? Tosfos Ri says it wasn't a malacha that was done beguf. It's not a malachas umanos beguf ha-mishkan. Read you his formulation. Is it Tariva Mabit? There you go. Maybe he doesn't say it. Halavade lo tikra malacha alamasha ha yosin ha umanim beguf ha mishkan. So what's his contrast? Masha asu ha umanim or beguf ha mishkan? And Shir, I think we quoted this as aligning more with the Tosri Azakein and the Mabit. The contrast is Moefes Machsheves of the Umanim. Not like the Arzurua, that's a din in Begufa Chefetz. Okay. A fourth perspective on the Yisra of Hotza being an external distinction is the perspective of the Shalom Meshiv, and that is that all the other Malachos of Shabbos are focused around the Aseh of Shvisa. 38 Malachos focus around Shvisa. Dafka Hotza, that has nothing to do with Shvisa. It's kind of like the opposite of the Ma'aral. What was his proof? So the Shalom Meshiv was working off a position of Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning, Misha Hichshech says that if you're standing outside and it's about to be Shabbos, you should give, and you're carrying an object, you should give it to a guy, and he should carry it for you. So the base mayor asks on this position of Rashi, what do you mean? Generally, we have a concept of there's no shlichus for a davar shebegufo. Mars, my time ashar le lemeis of the nachri. There's a special kula that the rabbanon allowed you to give your wallet to a non-Jew in that case. So ask the base mayor, why do you need a special kula for giving it to the non-Jew? We have a general din that there's no shlichus for a davar shebegufo. If a malacha, if something is inherently only done by you, so you can't appoint a shliach to do it. So putting on tefillin, for example. The mitzvah is to put tefillin on your guf, so you can't make a shliach to put tefillin on for you. So the base mayor asks, well, how could you ever have shlichus for something that's begufo? So malacha Shabbos is a davar shebegufo. The Torah prohibits you from doing the malacha, you from engaging in this activity. So how could you have a shliach to carry something for you on Shabbos? That's the base mayor's question on Rashi. So Shalom Meshiv tries to answer by saying that maybe that's true for 38 malachos. Maybe 38 malachos revolve around davar shebegufo, of creating something, of working hard on Shabbos. Hotza is not about that. So Hotza, which doesn't relate to Shvisa, that's the only malacha that's not considered a davar shebegufo on Shabbos. So maybe Rashi over here is not telling us a general principle. Rashi's telling us a chiddush about malachas Hotza. That's the proposition of the Shalom Meshiv to explain the Shita in Rashi. So those are two major perspectives on Hotza Malacha Gruhi. One about the internal incoherence of Hotza as articulated by Tosus and maybe the Ramban. And then you have four perspectives on the external problem of Hotza Malacha Gruhi. Either one read of the Ramban, that Hotza doesn't fit the bill of Masa Kaved, or Hotza doesn't fit the bill of, let's say, Kaved or the regular Hagdar of the other Malachos. You have the Or Zeruah, there's no Shinoi in the Chefetz. You have Tosri HaZakein and the Mabit and Tosus Rid, that even the action itself is different. And then you have the Shalom Meshiv, who seems to say that whereas all the other Malachos relate to Shvisa, Hotza doesn't relate to Shvisa Tagavra at all. Okay? So you have two major perspectives and then four sub-perspectives in the contrast to other Malachos. There's a whole other perspective on Hotza Malacha Gruhi. The perspectives that we just raised were all absolute conditions. Meaning that no matter the circumstance, we're pointing to something inherent to the nature of Hotza, that it's Gerua. For all the reasons that we listed. There are two perspectives that suggest that maybe the characterization of Hotza, Malacha Gruhi, is Toloi on some other halachic factor. So it's like a conditional Malacha Gruah. These positions that we listed until now, so they all point to something intrinsic to the Malacha of Hotza. Either Chilef Reshuyos, or Masa Kaved, or the Chefza. But there are two perspectives in the Achronim that suggest that whether Hotza itself is a Malacha Grua will be contingent on some other factor. So one of those positions is the Marsham, where the Marsham suggests that whether Hotza is a Malacha Grua is contingent on whether Tchumen is an Isser Daraisa or an Isser Drabanan. If Tchumen from Al Yitzi Yishmim Kom B'Yom HaShabbos is an Isser Daraisa, that shows you that walking is a significant Isser. So then Hu Adin Hotza, and Hotza is going to be an Isser Daraisa. Marsham. I don't have it written down here. Vav Lamites? Vav Lamites. And the Tshuvos to Marsham. The other perspective is that of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi in Simon Lamed Ches, where he suggests that whether Hotza Malacha Grua he is contingent on whether Hachnasa is an Avera Tolda. If Hachnasa is a Tolda, so then Hotza is going to be a Malacha Grua. If Hachnasa is an Av, so then Hotza is a Malacha Mal Yasa. Now he's motivated by the sheet of the Rambam, because the Rambam paskins that Hotza is a Malacha Mal Yasa, full-fledged Shem Malacha. But the Rambam also paskins that Hachnasa is an Av Malacha. So maybe there's only a problem with Hotza if you distinguish internally between going from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hasharabim and vice versa. That's already Gerua. There's some flaw in the logic of the Yisr. But if both Hotza and Hachnasa are Avos, because the Mechayiv is just Chila for Shuyos, then I totally understand the Malacha. And it's no longer to be a Malacha Gerua here. I mean, halacha
like,
is the same.
When Ramban and Tosa saw a marriage with Rav, when Tosa saw a marriage with Yachar, which is Yachar, one of them is Mukher, one of them is Aser. But even if Hachnasa would be a Tolda, it would still be just as Aser.
Right, this is making a different argument than Tosos.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure I understand why.
Well, do you understand the difference between going from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hasharabim and just
one
inverting
of
it?
One of them wasn't, but it doesn't mean that there's any difference. Just because one of them is an upright, the Gemara itself says it.
Right, well, that's what the Chassam Sofer seems to push back on when he argues under Bissal Ashkenazi. He doesn't think that Hachnasa being an Avera Tolda makes a difference. But here the Chiddush is the Shita of Bissal Ashkenazi.
I understand my Chiddush.
But look, you always have to think about what the relevant relevant term is. So in the Mishkan, what was significant? Is it significant that they went from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hasharabim? Or is it significant that they switched Rishuyos? What's your significant category? So to the extent that the Isra of Hotza is about changing an object's status or its place, so I'll say that the Mechayiv is Chila for Shuyos. So it happens to be that in the Mishkan, it was from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hasharabim. But that's not relevant information. The relevant information is that the object changed Mekomos. But if I say that what was in the Mishkan was a chila from one kind of from Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hasharabim, then that means I'm really particular about the characterization. So then I don't understand Hotza anymore. Why should I be picky about which way it went? Now you understand the Kiddush?
I understand
it. You hear?
Yeah.
It's a question about what you pick out as relevant information. Right, but the toldos are always inferior to the av, right?
I don't know if you have to say they're inferior.
That's what we're going to suggest in a minute anyway. So I'm saying it works in very nicely if you put these 2 points together. Okay. Good. What are the nafkamina of Hotza Malacha Grui? What's the evidence for Maisa that Hotza is defined as a lower class Malacha? So here we have 9 nafkamina for Hotza Malacha Grui. Number 1 is a sheet of the Ma'abit, quoted in Simon Gimel Chelek Gimel Kufchav Dalid, that on Yontif, even when you go ahead and you do Hotza Shalol Sorech Klal, so we're not going to give you the punishment of Malkus, which is what you would get for doing any other Malacha Shalol Sorech Klal. Somehow Hotza, because the Malacha Grui, so it doesn't warrant the punishment of Malkus, which every other malacha of Yantif warrants. That's our first nafkamina. Our second nafkamina relates to Malacha Shabbos. Generally, we say that if a guy does something that Tzorech Yisrael on Shabbos, because the malacha was done on Shabbos, so it's Asur Bahana. You can't benefit from it on Shabbos. The Rashba on Kufal Amino and Beis quotes B'Shem Moria Rav that this is true for 38 malachos, it's not true for Hotza. Why? Because every other malacha, there is a malacha Shabbos. There's a change in the object that you could point to and say, this was done on Shabbos. When it comes to Hotza, there's no change in the object that you could point to. So in Melo, there's no reason to aser it on a regular Shabbos, even though it was done by Isser L'Tzorech Yisrael. Our third nafkamina relates not to malacha Shabbos, but to Amir La'akum. One of them is a question of, can you use something that was done L'Tzorech Yisrael on Shabbos? The other one's a question of whether you can tell a guy to do something for you on Shabbos. So the Prima Gadim writes, that even according to the Ma'an D'Amar in general, that Amir La'akum is an Isser Del Raisa on Shabbos, based off the passive formulation of komalacha lo yasa komalacha, however it goes, based off that formulation. So you see that even a malacha that's done passively is an isra midaraisa. So amir lakum is also midaraisa. Shita the smag, and it's talked about by the Levush as well. So the Prima Gadim says, even if that's true for 38 malachos, it's not true for hotzah, because hotzah malacha gruhi. For some reason, its lower status is a reason to be matir amir lakum. It's not clear. You might say that it's, if he's going to say that l'ma damar it's daraisa, here it's knocked down, then kolshkin l'ma damar it's darabanan, it's going to be matir. Ayidei Akum Mitzarech Yisrael. What?
Like Mila, no?
His case? His case is not. He's not talking Mitzarech Mila.
No, I'm saying.
Right. I'm saying, therefore, but if it wasn't Mitzarech Mitzvah.
Then we're not Mitzarech Mila Lachri by anything.
No, but meaning Dafko Mitzarech Mitzvah, it would be an issue of Mitzvah.
Right. Just Amir Lachem per se, you wouldn't.
Oh, so you bring it right against.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You do seem to have. He might say maybe those are. Das Yachid, I don't know. He doesn't say anything explicitly, but you might say that if he's willing to knock it down from a Daraisa to a Daraban, maybe we'd go further. I don't know. The Kopan and the Prima Gadim has that Kiddush. Fourth Nafkamina is found in Shvisas Behema. Generally, we hold that not only is it usher for you to do Malacha, it's also to have your animal go ahead and do Malacha on Shabbos. So the Pnei Yoshua and Daf Nen Aleph Mabez writes that this is true for everything except for Hotzah. Not for everything, except for Tolesh also. Because Tolesh is Tsar. But Hotzah, because it seems to be a weaker malacha, it doesn't have as significant a maisa, so then we're going to allow shvisas, we're going to allow your animal to go ahead and do a Hotzah, even though it's not allowed to do 37 malachos on Shabbos. Fifth nafkamina comes from the Avnei Nezer and Simon Reishud. This is the same one we quoted before. Now, generally, all the malachos of Shabbos require a Devar HaMiskayim. It has to be some sort of permanence to the malacha that's done. The shaila is, does that criterion apply to Hotzah? You say that I'm moving this object and now this object's going to stay. Or you say no, since the whole nature of Hotzah is about mobility, about moving things around, so we're not going to say that you need Davar HaMiskayim, I'm moving this piano here and this piano is never going to move. By its very nature, Hotzah is a more flexible malacha, so we're not going to require Davar HaMiskayim into malachas Hotzah. That's the Avnei Nezer and Arachayim Simon Reishu. Not clear. It could say whatever you, in general, say Devar HaMiskayim is. It would have to stay put. Have to like rope it into the ground or something. I don't know. Rabbi Zichron Inspector in Shut Be'er Yitzchak Simin Tesvav. So he's choker. What a chatzi shir by Hotzah. You might say that chatzi shir is also midaraisa by shar melachos. Chatzi shir be mutter when it comes to Hotzah. What's the rationale? He says this in two ways. A, it means that you'd. It would be mutter to carry chatzi grogeres. You could carry around half the shear of hotzah. B, it means it an akira below hanacha, or doing two amos per shus rabim, that would be mutter lechatchila on Shabbos.
It could mean grogeres. Like, where do we ever see that was a shear?
Where is that? How did that become the shear for hotzah?
Yeah,
I think the Mishnayos talk about it later on.
So when they're about to, like, carrying out
a grogeres. Why is everyone talk about it? The Mishnayos talk, the Gemaras talk about it later on. The Progma Hamatznia, Lezera, Ledugma. Generally, we require a shear. It's actually a very interesting discussion. Generally, we require a shear for hotzah, except under circumstances of achshave. So if something becomes a davar chashiv to you and you're burying it, then you're chayiv on a kol shu even. So that in itself is interesting. You have a flexible definition of hotzah. It actually relates to something we saw earlier in the year. Remember we saw that Rashi in Beitza on a chavav mebeis, a chav zayin mebeis about shreifas kachim, that being machil, chumat tmeil, behemto, on yantiv, that being a malacha. Maybe Bechlal the Malacha, Losasakal Malacha. So everyone asks on that Rashi, then why isn't it usur to feed chametz to your animal on Pesach, Leman da'amar, Hashpasasa Bechol Davar? Rashi's rationale was that Torah Achshav al Hasravasan. Torah says that burning Chumat Tameh is a mitzvah. So you see, it's a Davar Chashav. So even though it's not really Malacha, it is a Malacha. Rashi in Pesach and Dafei clearly assumes that feeding chametz to your animal on Pesach, Leman da'amar, Hashpasasa Bechol Davar, Rashi assumes that's okay. That's not a malacha. So why is chuma tamei aser, but chametz mutter? That's what the Pnei Yoshua and the Noda Behuda, that's what all bothered in Shitas Rashi. So the Noda Behuda answered, the Noda Behuda suggested, that when it comes to chametz, so it's not really a chiyuv to destroy it. It's really just a chuvas agavra. It's totally subjective. Masha in kain, a malacha of Shabbos or a malacha of Yontif, so you can never have a subjective malacha where it's a malacha for one person but not a malacha for somebody else. So since chametz is only a chiyuv to destroy for the person who owns it, so it can't be that relative to him it's a malacha and relative to his friend who doesn't own it it's not a malacha. So al karchach, there's no malacha in destroying chametz on Pesach. Okay, that's the argument of Rabbi Yehuda. So the footnote on the Rabbi Yehuda challenges this and says, what do you mean? Chutzah has a subjective shear. Mishnah said, "Hamatznia lezer ledugma yirchai bekolshu." So you see that you have a malacha that's subjectively usher for one person, a mutter for everybody else. It's very clever. So he's assuming that the shear of chutzah, which is defined subjectively, can create circumstances under which the malacha of chutzah is mutter for one person, but also for somebody else. You could have said that's just the subjectivity in defining a shear, which makes sense. So there you could say it's really not bichlal the malacha. Right?
Or you could say the ikar shir of hotzah is the gogar. So then for you,
right, that would be the answer. I'm saying you still might have to distinguish between the subjectivity of the shir of kigogaris and machshin tzicha legufa. Could say that. So the Beir Yitzchak says that maybe you'd be mekil on both dinim of chatzi shir when it comes to hotzah because it's a malacha grua. So what does malacha grua have to do with being mekil on chatzi shir? So we suggest that maybe that chatzi shir becomes more prominent when you're dealing with an iser chefta. When you're interested in the maisa gavra, so then chatzi shir is less significant. In terms of the objective status of the object, so it's aser b'kazayis, because it presupposes an intrinsic identity of the object. So even chatzi shir retains that identity. But when it comes to maisa gavra, so sometimes the action itself is only defined by the shir. So it could be that since it's a malacha grua, and a malacha grua might mean that it's not related to the object per se. The object is the hechatimsi for defining the maisa gavra. And dafka over here, we won't care about chatzi shir because the emphasis on the maisa gavra. But on the malachos, where it's a chifetz oriented malacha, so then chatzi shir is going to be aser. Seventh nafkamina is tziruf shirim. Generally, we say that if you do chatzi shir of chorish, then later on you do another chatzi shir of chorish, so that's nitan. That might be nitan tziruf. But the Minchas Chinuch suggests that that's definitely not going to be true for hotzah. That hotzah, for sure, you need a shir shel in bivas achas. Okay, so it could be reducible to the same point as the Beir Yitzchak. It could be a bit of a separate point, but one of them is an nafkamina in tziruf shir, and one of them is an nafkamina in chatzi shir of hotzah.
You just said you need a shear shelling at the end.
Right. But you can't do a whole full hotzah of half a shear and then do another full hotzah of half a shear.
What he's not sure about is, like, let's say you did half a shear and then your animal ate it and then you did another half a shear. But it seems to be that he just says that if you just carried half of this and then you went back in and carried the other half and then at the end you had a whole shear, then
it
seems like he would be
chai. I think he would be chai for that case.
Yeah,
even though he didn't do a maisa hotzah v'as achas on a shir shalim.
Yeah, it seems to be like he's worried about shir shalim at the end.
I mean, the Gemara, when you're zorek, the suffix of the Gemara, when you're zorek, a chatzi grogeris, and it's mistari for shir once it gets to its destination.
I think I'm
probably
in this.
I don't know. Could be.
For other things,
even if they're
not being there,
right. Right. I understand. I just want to say, in terms of the hotza, you have an afkamina. In terms of the totza.
Yeah, so
I understand. In terms of the totza, he's being mechalik between hotza and the malachos.
See, but the other malachos, as long as you did a full shear, regardless of if it's the end,
but by other malachos, even if it's not there at the end, the vadi would be chayav.
No, it's a suffix.
So clearly, everybody knows the Minchas Chinuch, and I don't, so we don't even need to talk about it. Is that what the Minchas Chinuch says?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. I'm not really sure what he actually says then, but I'll take your word on it for the Minchas Chinuch. Good. The Har Tzvi in Shut Tel Harim Bishol Simen Aleph. So he suggests that maybe the whole din of Tafel Iker may only apply to Hotza. Okay? So this is where Noam raised his question in Shir, which is actually the context of the Hartzvi. Some malachos of Shabbos might depend on Ikra and Tafel. So for example, we hold Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Yavish. So let's say you have a Tavshil, which is Rov, the Ikar is the Davar Yavish, and the Tafel is the Davar Lach. Right, so you're heating up chicken, and there's some gravy in there. So do you say that you're allowed to reheat the chicken because of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, and not worry about the Davar Lach because the Tafel is Batel the Ikar? That's the Shiloh that the Hartzvi is dealing with. So the source for Batel the Ikar, or Tafel the Ikar, really comes from Hotzah. So do you assume that because Hotzah is a Malacha Gruhi, that's why we're able to say that if you have a Shir Shalem, let's say in the Kli, of the Kli, and only a Chatzi Shir of the item that you're transferring in the Kli, so Dafka when it comes to Hotzah, we could say that the Tafel is Batel the Ikar. So the Kli is Batel to the Chatzi Shir of the Grogeris which you're carrying in your Pater. Or do you say that no, Hotzah, that's the standard for all the other Malachos? David, a question? Good. Number 9, and here you might have an afkamina l'chumra. That's an afkamina raised by the Beis Yitzchak, or also Beis Yitzchak inspector and his other tshuvas in Siman Lamed Daled, where here he suggests that maybe even though mekalka and other malachos is pater, dafka mekalka when it comes to hotzah will be chayiv. So he's working off a case in the Gemara where the Gemara says if you're zorik, let's say a grogeres, of kachim or truma into a bayis hatame. So your action is causing it to become tame. So that's a case of zrika or hotzah bin mekalka. So the chori should be pater. From the Gemara, it's mashma that you're chayiv. So once again, so it could be that since the mekalkel, since the malacha of hotzah, doesn't actually relate to a transformation in the chefza, so then by definition we don't care about mekalkel when it comes to hotzah. Because mekalkel is always when you're ruining the object. You're ruining the malacha itself. But over here where the malacha relates to the kilkel relates to the chefza, the malacha relates more to the maisa, so there's no connection between the kilkel and the actual malacha. So mela, we're not going to use mekalkel as a ptur. That's the question of the Beis Yitzchak and Siman Lamed Daled. Okay. So those are 9 nafkiminas to Hotzah Malacha Gruhi, which we pointed to. We have the Mabit, that you don't get Malkas and Yontif. You have the nafkimina of the Rashban Kuflamid from Meleches Shabbos. The nafkimina of the Pri Megadim when it comes to Amir La'akum. The nafkimina of the Pnei Yoshua on Shivis Asbehema. The nafkimina of the Avnei Nezer when it comes to Adavar HaMeskayim from Meleches Shabbos. Nafkamina of the Be'er Yitzhak when it comes to Chatzishir, Nafkamina of the Minchas Chinuch, however it goes, in the Tziruf Shiurim of Melechas Hotzah versus the other Melechos, and then you have the distinction of the Har Tzvi. Is Tafel Ikar something unique to Hotzah, or is Tafel Ikar applied to other Melechos? And then you have the Nafkamina of the Be'er Yitzhak and Siman Lamed Daled, that Mekalka won't apply to Hotzah. So this brings us to our last topic of the relationship between Avos and Toldos on Shabbos. Yeah. What? He had a Mechas Chinuch.
Yeah, it's here. Before by Hotzah that Yemotzi Chatzi Shir in Yisrael, Vachakach Hotzi Od Chatzi Shir Potter, Ve'inan, Ve'idan, Gemar Hotzah, Yehen Munach Kol Hashir.
Okay.
And he wants to know, what about by Shar Malachos, do we say that
right, so why do you think that he's distinguishing then between Dafka in the case of Totsa?
The question is that in the case where it's not existing, he's saying when it comes to Hotzah, for sure you're going
to... You think according to Minchas Chinuch, if I carry Chatzi Grogeres...
The Gemara,
what?
The Gemara is not like between carrying half Grogeres when it's there, and then you carry another half Grogeres and it's still there.
Right.
And then in the case when you carry the second half Grogeres and the first one's gone already.
Right. But according to the Gemara, it's clear that you're Chayiv for carrying Chatzi Grogeres, and then you carry a second Chatzi Grogeres at the Libra Lechol HaDeos. Yeah? Alright.
And it quotes the Rambam.
And now the Rambam paskins that Gemara?
But if it's still there, then you're fine. Rama Rava, what's the Khachu Gas when you have a Khatu Hotzi Khachu Gas? The viewer there, Halal, Chayv.
So you're chayv in a case where you do the hanacha and they're together now?
Yeah, and the Gemara says even if you don't do the hanacha, then you just put them within 3 parts.
Right, because that's halachically considered a tziruf.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in a regular case, that's the case where you don't have the totza.
But then later in the Gemara it says that as long as.
You but you want to? You tell me that's a pasha din in the Gemara that if I take chatzig ogeres takir hanacha, and I do another chatzig ogeres takir hanacha makom acher. I'm chayiv. Not makom acher. Okay, so not makom acher. So let's talk about the minchas. So what's the sheet of the minchas chinach in a case where I do an akira and hanacha? Right. So isn't the minchas chinach? Isn't the minchas chinach contrasting a case where hotza, where I'm going to be potter if I do an akira and hanacha, and there's no tziruf between them? Masha inkin, if I do chatzi shir of kotzer, then I do chatzi shir of kotzer again, I'm going to be chayiv.
No, it's the opposite.
If you do ksiba out of one letter anywhere in the world, and then ksiba of another letter anywhere in the world, you're chayiv. You wouldn't be chayiv.
Right. So that's what I thought the nafkamina is. Isn't that a very simple nafkamina without coming on to the totzos?
That's not his case.
What? Why do you have to come on to a case of Nisraf, though?
Why does the Nisraf have to come on to a case?
Right, why does he come on to a case of Nisraf?
Because later, because of Rabbi Yossi later on in the Gemara, he says that even if the two Hatzchirs go different places, or if they're Yotzi from Ma'okamacha, or they go to the same place, and they're Chayiv and they're Rabbanon, seem to say that any two might be
Nisraf. Okay, so maybe we'll have to look into this. I think the Pasha Nafkamina is just a case where you have an Akir and Hanach of Chatzi Shir. Akir and Hanach of Chatzi Shir b'makom acher, so that lechori should be pater, because there never was a ma'isa of hotza done on Chatzi Shir. By hotza. Masha inke when you do Chatzi Shir of tochin, and then you go again do Chatzi Shir of tochin, where you would be chayav.
Could be that would be true.
It might be an Ashmi, but it's not the Mechas Chinuch.
What?
I'm not saying that it's not true, but that Mechas Chinuch is not
talking about that case.
He's talking about makom acher. He's talking about if it was Misraf or was Nechal.
And why is that different than Makom Acher? Why is that different than Makom Acher?
It seems like the Rabbanan and the Gemara think that even if it's to Makom Acher, it's totally fine.
Yeah? That's what you think?
That's the way most of the Rishonim read.
Okay. Good. Okay, so we'll look into that in Nafkamina. Let's get to our last case. Our last case is the case of Avos and Toldos. Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not Hachnasa is defined as a Tolda of Hotsa, or whether Hachnasa is defined as an Av. According to the Rambam, they're both Avos. According to the Bali Atosos and Dafez and Beis, and according to the Rashba, so Hachnasa is really a Tolda. So this begs the question, if Hachnasa is really a Tolda, then why is it listed in the Mishnah on Beis and Aleph? None of the other Toldos are listed in the Mishnayos. That's the question Tosos poses on Beis and Beis, Dibur Matzchel Milo Askinan. Ve'im Tomar, Ma'ishna de Tani Tolda de Hotza, Ve'lo Tani Shum Tolda de Chol Shar Avos. So the reason why we list Hachnasa in our Mishnah here is because it's very easy to throw it in. You don't have to start elaborating on a whole other case. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Tama is suggesting a different answer. It's not about the economy of language, but it has to do with the fact that if we didn't list the Toldos of Hotza in the Mishnah, we wouldn't have known that Hotza has Toldos, because the Malacha Gruhi. So what does Malacha Gruhi have to do with the assertion that it has no toldos? So here we suggest that this depends on our general understanding of avos and toldos. And yesh lachkor in this halacha. Does it mean the av always exemplifies a principle? The principle of what's asur on Shabbos. Toldos are things that also pick out that same principle. So just like the Torah asurs the av, the Torah is not going to tell you this, 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 and this is asur. The Torah tells you this is the category. And Mela, everything that falls in that same category is equally to be Asar on Shabbos. That's one understanding. There's a principle underlying the Av. Toldos share that principle, and Mela, they're Asar. Or, Torah Asar's Avos. Avos are a category unto themselves. And then there's a separate Chiddush HaTorah that Avos are such a strong category that they have the power to generate their own Toldos. But it's not that there's a common principle between the Avos and Toldos. It's not that general principle, Torah Asar is a category, and the Av just picks out an exemplum of that category. Adrab, Torah Asur's Avos. Avos are an Isser which generate their own category of Yisurim along with them.
How
do we know what toldot the avot create?
What?
I mean, how do we know what?
So then we have ways of saying what's considered dome to the av, but it's not that it has the same fundamental principle of Torah's asering. Okay, it has to do with similitude to the av. Not that the av and the toldot just have one principle.
Would it really be that malacha is the common denominator, and they would call a specific one of those an av, right?
What?
Meaning, a less fancy way to phrase it than the av creates a toldot would just be that the common denominator, that's the definition of the malacha, and within its malacha, there's this thing we call an av, right?
You might not say that. You might say differently. You might say that what's usher is the av. Things that resemble the av become usher by proximity.
That just means that it falls under the category of a general malacha, right? I mean, what do you mean by proximity?
That they resemble this av, so they're usher by resemblance.
So then the malacha is just things that resemble the av.
The malacha is the av. As an extension of the av, we're also usher things that resemble it.
Then the malacha can't be the av.
Why not?
Because it includes things that aren't the av.
As toldos of the av. So the isser malacha, the isser av malacha, Torah says, bonez usher. Bone is usher, now that generates its own set of isurim, of things that resemble bone. That's a second tier isser. Okay. So Tosos, we pointed Tosos in Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, it's Klal Gadol B'Shabbos. So it's by Klal Gadol B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, because when you have Avos and Toldos, we call it a Klal Gadol. Tosos says, what do you mean? Don't you have other categories of Halacha that also have Avos and Toldos? Tosos says, no. That term of Avos and Toldos is only Shayich to a fundamental category like malachos. But other areas of halacha that have avos and toldos, let's say like negayim, that's not real avos and toldos, only malachos. So he said, wow, this seems to point to a difference in the nature of avos and toldos in Hilchos Shabbos, in contrast to avos and toldos in other areas of halacha. This is highlighted as well by Tosus in Bechoros and Daf Chafhei. Those of their ask, well, if on Shabbos we ask our toldos of gozes, then with respect to the dinim of avoda b'kadshim, you're not allowed to be gozes of behema of kadshim or b'char. So shouldn't we also ask all the toldos of gozes on behema's kadshim also? After all, toldos show you that gozes is a broader category. So just like gozes is a broader category as asr on Shabbos, it should also be asr with respect to kadshim. Toldos answered no. Toldos is a category unique to Hilchos Shabbos. So just because it's an extension of gozes there, it doesn't mean it's an extension of the activity of gozes in avodah b'kadshim. Our third observation was that pointed out by the Mari Katz and Daf Beis and the Shittim Kabbatz and Bava Kama, and that is that when it comes to the toldos of Nezikin, there's no need for Xeris HaKasuv. We just know that the Torah asers this category. And these categories have toldos. They have similar kinds. When it comes to Shabbos, the Gemara in Habone quotes Xeris HaKasuv Meachas Mehena to tell you that there are avos and there are toldos. So why in Shabbos do you need Xeris HaKasuv? Whereas in Nezikin, it's almost intuitive that these isurim stand for categories, not just a particular iser. So what we tried to suggest was that the din of avos and toldos in Shabbos is really different from the notion of avos and toldos in other areas of halacha. It's not just that the Torah asers a category. The Torah asers the avos as malachos. And the avos, because they're such intrinsic yisurim on Shabbos, so they generate their own set of toldos along with them. That's determined by Xeris HaKasuv. That's determined as something unique to malacha, not just the categories of Nezikin. It's not going to extend to Bechoros. Fine. So if that's the case, and it could be that if you have a malacha grua, which doesn't fit the bill of this intrinsic category of malacha, then maybe that iser doesn't have the power to be molded toldos. So it's a malacha grua hi, it's a weaker iser. It's not as essential to the shame malacha of Shabbos, so that category doesn't have the ability to be molded toldos. In Mela, you would have thought that there are no toldos for malacha sotzah. So the Gemara has to come along, and the Gemara throws it into the Mishnah to tell you that this is also a malacha that's able to be molded other toldos. So to conclude, we'll conclude with a point that we finished with last week as well. So we've gone through the malachas of Hotzah. We've shown that Hotzah is a bit of a different category. It may not be a full-fledged malacha. It may have nafkaminas as a malacha grua, he defines a little differently. It needs gzeras akasuv to tell you what's aser, what's mutter, tell you the nature of the iser of avotza. But the question then becomes, what is the paradigm of the iser malacha avotza? Last week, so we pointed to a difference between one relationship, the relationship between hotza and tchumin, seemed to point to the iser hotza of halichas agavra. The real iser is your distance, leaving the machane, traveling a certain distance. In the other direction, we saw that hotza is also related to tiltel, the iser tiltel of all the kelim on Shabbos, since he's a very chefza oriented malachi. Now, these objects aren't allowed to be moved. When it comes to the actual malach of hotza, so we find different cases. We have cases of Yitziyah from Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hashayachid. And then you also have, that's where the Gavra goes from one Rosh Hashayachid to the other Rosh. And then you have the cases on Tzadivav Mebeis, where you have Zorik and Moshe, where it's just cases where the Cheftz is going. There's no transfer of Rosh Hashayachid to the Gavra. In between, you have the case on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. You have Pashat Balabayis as Yadu Lefnim, as Sa'an Yas Yadu Lechutz. So how relevant is the Maisa Gavra into the Isra of Hotza? Here he's not crossing the actual threshold, he's not walking through, but at least part of his guf is crossing through. So where does that fall into the Isra of Hotza? Is this Mishnah and Daf Beis the paradigm of Isra Hotza and Shabbos? This is the Ab Melacha? Or is there a more fundamental category of Isra Hotza and Shabbos of Halicha Sagavra? That's going to depend on how we understand the whole case of Pashad Anya Sadlofnina Bal Ba'is Lechotz. Do both those cases pick out one mechayiv of hotza, or like the different maisa agavra even defined as two different categories within hotza? So that's what we're going to be exploring this week ahead of us. That's what we'll pick up on.